We're going through the book of Proverbs, and today the topic is anger in the book of Proverbs. Anger is a common emotion. Everybody gets angry, from small children to senior citizens. Some express it spontaneously and some stuff it, but we all have it. Now, anger is also a little bit of a complex issue. For example, we normally think of anger as a bad thing, but in the Old Testament, guess who gets angry? God. He gets angry at the children of Israel when they became idolatrous. And there are numerous passages in the Old Testament where God gets angry. In the New Testament, guess who gets angry? Jesus, of all things. Then, in the book of Ephesians, Paul commands believers to get angry. So, apparently, there is a place for being angry that is legitimate. I once wrote a paper about this, and I said it's perfectly proper to be angry when you are wronged, violated, or treated unjustly, or when you have seen injustice done to somebody else. On the other hand, there's apparently an anger that is not good. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said there is an anger without cause, apparently meaning that it's not legitimate. You didn't have a reason for that kind of anger. But what really gets interesting to me is that in the same chapter where it says, be angry, which is Ephesians chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, Paul says, let all anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, some of those kind of things, be put away from you. So in the middle of the chapter, he says, be angry, but don't sin. At the end of this chapter, he says, put away anger. All of which is to say, apparently, from the scripture, there is an appropriate anger and an inappropriate anger. Now, as I said, we're going through the book of Proverbs topically, and what I want to do is look at anger in the book of Proverbs, and it has a lot to say. Most of what it has to say is really interesting. As I laid out all the verses on anger in the book of Proverbs, I divided it into two parts. There is some of these verses deal with us being angry and how to deal with it. Then there's a whole bunch of Proverbs that talk about how to handle an angry person. And there's so much material that what I've decided to do is divide this into two parts. So today I'm going to speak on anger that pertains to the individual, where you have it. And then next time I'm going to talk about how to handle people who are angry. So, with that in mind, let me start with just the word anger. There are three different Hebrew words that are translated anger or wrath in the book of Proverbs. One of them, which occurs 16 times, simply means anger. But one translated wrath means rage or hot displeasure. It appears 9 times in the book of Proverbs. Then there is a Hebrew word translated wrath, and this one I think is particularly interesting because it means frustration, provocation, vexation. I want you to keep that one in mind. It means frustration. Interesting. It appears 4 times in the book of Proverbs. So, let's look at what the book of Proverbs says is the cause of anger. There are several verses that indicate what might cause anger. So let's look, beginning at Proverbs 14, verse 17. 14:17. It says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated." Now, this is a verse we need to really unpack because there's a lot here. Proverbs 14, verse 17 is an interesting little verse. In the first place, there's a contrast between a foolish man and a wicked man. In that contrast, the foolish man is quick-tempered. And the wicked man intentionally does evil. So that's the first contrast. There is a second contrast in what we might say is sudden passion and deliberate purpose. So that this foolish man quickly, with sudden passion, is expressing his quick temper. And the evil man is contemplating it. So that's the second contrast in this verse. Now, let me talk about these two people for a second. Let's talk about this quick-tempered man. I think if we were saying this in modern English, we'd say he flies off the handle. He has no time for reflection. He's harried on by his passions. He speaks like a fool and acts like a madman. In his anger, someone has said, he does things without stopping to consider the consequences. He slams doors, throws whatever is handy, yells curses and insults, breaks furniture, and walks out in a rage. He has an outburst of anger. And then, interestingly enough, as somebody's pointed out and as I have observed, some of these people get over it very quickly. They blow up and then they get over it. So that's the quick-tempered man. The second fella in this verse is the wicked man. And when it says the man of wicked intention, that word intention means device or purpose. In other words, he plans this. The wicked man plans his wickedness. He's willful, crafty, cunning, are various words that various commentators have used. He is a man of wicked devices, to use the King James phrase. He contrives secret vengeance against those with whom he is angry. He is a deceitful man. He is vindictive. So this wicked fella is in great contrast to the quick-tempered man. So to sum all that up, I think I would say, without thinking, the quick-tempered man blows up and gets over it. The other man, the wicked man, thinks it through, plans it, and then thinks how he can get even. So that's the contrast between these two men. The ultimate contrast is the reaction of other people. So in the case of the foolish man, he acts foolishly, and so he's considered foolish. But the wicked man is hated. Interesting. Now, why did I consider all of this under the cause of anger? Well, what I'm suggesting is that implied in this verse is that the quick-tempered man, which is the part I'm focusing on, does it suddenly, and so he's out of control. He doesn't control the anger. He just expresses it. Someone has said the quick-tempered man is more easily tolerated than the man who acts in a cold-blooded way. Another has said there's a difference between crimes of passion and crimes of premeditation, which seems to be implied in this verse. But my point is that underneath all of that is that it seems to be saying that the quick-tempered man, in contrast to the person who thinks it through, isn't thinking it through. He's quick-tempered, so he doesn't exercise self-control. So I'm suggesting, this passage is saying, one of the causes of anger is a lack of self-control. As you've heard me say many times, I grew up in Florida, college in Tennessee, and then I moved to Texas. And one of the first things I discovered when I got to Texas to go to seminary is they had something I'd heard of, but I'd never seen, a live performance. Texas has rodeos. So, just to have the experience, I went to my first rodeo. I may have gone several times, but I can't remember. But what I do remember is watching the bucking horse come out of the chute, and within seconds, this rider lands on his back on the ground, and clowns immediately surround him to keep the horse or the bull or whatever he's riding from killing him. Well, it seems to me that when a person lacks self-control, anger is like a horse in a rodeo, hard to handle. That there are people who cannot control their anger. It's out of control. So they don't have control enough and time enough to think. So one cause of anger, according to Proverbs, is a lack of self-control. There is a second cause, and it is really interesting. I want you to turn to Proverbs 6 and look at verse 34. Proverbs 6, 34 and 35. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no compensation, nor will he be appeased, though you give him many gifts. Is that an interesting proverb or what? I can just imagine, and you've heard me say this now many times, and I want us to keep in the front of our thinking, this book was written by a father to his son. And I can just imagine the father saying, now look, son, there's one thing you don't want to mess with, and that is having an affair with a married woman. Because, well, her husband is not going to be easily persuaded not to harm you. In other words, this is saying jealousy, in that case, knows no mercy. Vengeance allows no forgiveness and no atonement. So beware of that one. There's a similar idea in Proverbs 27, verse 4. Which says, wrath is cruel and anger a torment, but who is able to stand before jealousy? And there again, it's talking about the fact that people who are filled with wrath can be cruel, and people who are filled with anger can be overwhelming like a torrent, and that is a torrent of water. But jealousy is worse. It may include anger and fury and merciless vengeance. So, I think based on these verses, we would say that jealousy can be a cause of anger. Matter of fact, God gets angry when he's jealous. So that is one possibility. One commentator says, wrath and anger are often short-lived, but jealousy continues to gall away at a person. By the way, the Song of Solomon in chapter 8, verse 6 says, jealousy as cruel as the grave, its flames are flames of fire, a most vindictive flame. Interesting. Another has said, jealousy in romance is like salt in food. A little can enhance the flavor, but too much can spoil the pleasure, and under certain circumstances can be life-threatening. I didn't know salt could be life-threatening. Can salt be life-threatening? I guess salt water can if you get too much in the wrong spot. At any rate, I thought that was an interesting analogy. Someone else has said, Proverbs then lists two causes for anger, a lack of self-control and jealousy. Anger can be caused by a lack of self-control and jealousy. Now, at this point, I want to pause and talk about this for a second. Obviously, the book of Proverbs, in dealing with the cause of jealousy, is not being exhaustive. Can you think of some other reasons or causes for people to be angry? Yes. I think that some other emotions might cause anger. Fear, or feeling trapped. Shame, like feeling humiliated. Pain, feeling hurt. I think there are some external things, not just emotions internally, some external things that could cause anger. Factors that are caused by people, like missing an appointment. Matter of fact, years ago, I had a friend who's now with the Lord. And he and I had lunch all the time. And I could just count on the fact he was going to be late. And after a while, the first couple of times, you know, he had a good reason. After a while, I'm thinking, I just got a little irritated. Did you ever get angry because somebody just didn't show up when they were supposed to? I've had the experience. I think that could cause anger. Or an event like an automobile accident. A couple of years ago, I was on Interstate 10 in a traffic jam when all of a sudden the traffic stopped. There was a young lady behind me in an expensive sports car, and she wasn't paying attention apparently, or was too close to me to begin with, and she slammed on the brakes and tried to swerve out of the way, and her right front fender hit my rear left fender. And I was on my way to an appointment that was important, and I sat there, and I just got angry. And I didn't get out of the car for a second, and I said, I just calm down and go deal with this without spewing all over this, whoever it was that hit me. At any rate, my point is that other things can cause anger, and the book of Proverbs is not exhaustive. Now, let me make one other observation about the cause of anger. Many years ago, I believe it was my mentor, Haddon Robinson, I'm fairly certain of that, gave me a little chart. And it was an explanation of where anger comes from. I don't know where he got it, but I've used it hundreds of times in counseling with people. It started out by just putting the word expectation. And then it drew a little arrow, and the next word was frustration. And he drew another little arrow, and the next word was anger. Now, there was more to the chart. But just that part, expectation, frustration, anger, was his explanation for anger. Now, I have since written an article about all of this. It was published in a little booklet. And I added the word perception, that it is your perception that gives you the expectation. It's the expectation that gets frustrated that produces the anger. What interested me as I looked at all this material in Proverbs, as I mentioned in the introduction, that there is a Hebrew word translated wrath, and that Hebrew word means frustration. So while this is a complicated, complex subject, and there are all kinds of ramifications, I would like to suggest that in a lot of cases, all in the world that's going on is you've had an expectation, and it got frustrated, and so you got angry. Now, what makes that interesting is we have expectations that we're not aware of. My wife says, you have expectations in marriage, and you didn't even know you had them till you got married. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I would add to that is, you may not know yet, you didn't know you had them for maybe a year or two, and then all of a sudden one crops up. The point is, I think that's been a very helpful little way to analyze anger. When you're angry, stop and say, what was I expecting? You might not have been aware of the expectation until the anger showed up. But very often, no, not always, anger is a frustrated expectation. Now, Proverbs lists two causes, a lack of self-control and jealousy. But what does it say about controlling the anger? Well, there's some interesting Proverbs in that connection. So let's begin with Proverbs 14, verse 29. Proverbs 14, 29 says, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Now again, as in many cases, we need to unpack this little proverb. He who is slow to wrath. There is somebody who does have self-control. He is slow. He's not quick-tempered like we saw a minute ago. Well, what's his secret? Well, this proverb says he has great understanding. So, those who do not explode are the ones who have understanding, insight. I think I would take from that that one of the solutions to handling your anger is to think first. Remember I said it's a bucking horse, so you always don't have time to do that. But that, I think, is one of the things the book of Proverbs would say. So to control your outburst, think about how foolish that may make you look. Because the second part of this proverb says, but he who is impulsive exalts his folly. So you might just stop and think about this may, if you express this anger, it just may make you look stupid. So think about that before you explode. I read an article once written by a fellow who said, many years ago, a senior executive of the then Standard Oil Company made a wrong decision that cost the company more than $2 million. This was a long time ago, and that was a lot of money then, and today it would be many times more that. John D. Rockefeller was running the firm. On the day the news leaked out, most of the executives of the company were finding various ingenious ways of avoiding Mr. Rockefeller, lest his wrath descend on their heads. There was one exception, however. He was a fellow named Edward Bedford, a partner in the company. Bedford was scheduled to see Rockefeller on that day, and he kept his appointment even though he was prepared to listen to a long rage against the man who had made the error in judgment. When he entered the office, the powerful head of this gigantic Standard Oil Company was bent over his desk, busily writing with pen and pad. Bedford stood silently, not wishing to interrupt. A few minutes later, Rockefeller looked up and said, "Oh, it's you, Bedford." And he said very calmly, "I suppose you've heard about the loss." Bedford said that he had. Rockefeller said, "I've been thinking it over. And before I ask the man to discuss the matter, I have been making some notes." Bedford later told the story this way. Across the top of the page was written, points in favor of Mr. whatever his name was. there followed a long list of the man's virtues, including a brief description of how he had helped the company and made the right decisions on three separate occasions and had earned many times more the cost of his recent error. And the fellow who wrote the article said, "I never forgot that lesson. In later years, whenever I was tempted to rip into someone, I found myself first to sit down and thoroughly compile a long list of good points as I possibly could. Inevitably, by the time I finished my inventory, I would see it was in its true perspective and keep my temper under control. There is no telling how many times this habit has prevented me from committing one of the costliest mistakes an executive can make, namely, losing your temper." So my point, based on this proverb, is before you express this anger, why don't you just sit down and think? That's what you should do. The second thing you should do is exercise some self-control. Look at Proverbs 29:11. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." This is a rather well-known proverb. I'm sure you've probably heard this one. A fool vents all his feelings. By the way, the Hebrew word vents means to speak. And feelings is used here of temper and anger in other places. So, this is talking about just speaking your anger. And this proverb says, fools do that. Fools talk about all their feelings, especially anger. Then it says, but a wise man holds them back. He doesn't quickly, or maybe at all, expresses feelings at the moment. The word hold here was used of stilling a roaring sea. So that's, I thought of what a vivid description. This anger is boiling in your soul and it's like a raging sea and he holds it back. Matter of fact, holding is one word, back is another, and the combination of those two words is sometimes used of just calming it back. In other words, he exercises self-control. Now we need to put these things together. One of the causes of anger is a lack of self-control. So the control of anger is to think and exercise self-control. The wise people control their feelings, especially anger. And fools are quick-tempered, and they let it loose. So, exercise some self-control. By the way, I think I should comment that I don't think you should apply 29:11 to all feelings on all occasions at all times. The scripture would not warrant that you should never express your feelings. Just read the book of Psalms. He's expressing his emotions almost in every psalm. So that's perfectly legitimate and sometimes helpful. However, we're talking about anger in specifically and a quick-tempered person also specifically. There's another proverb that says something similar, and it's in chapter 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. Proverbs 12:16. A fool's wrath is known at once. Why? Because he's quick-tempered. He blew immediately, so it's known. And so what is that getting? Remember now, sometimes the second part of the proverb explains the first. Shame. Whereas a prudent man covers his shame means he controls his wrath from the first part of the proverb, and so he is not dishonored. Someone has said, when annoyed people, or perhaps by an insult, fools immediately show it. Another said, they blow up at the slightest provocation. Another said, they are easily angered and generally speak whatever comes to their mind. They cannot restrain their wrath. Not controlling that passion, they allow their anger to burst forth in whatever place and time and circumstance, and no matter who is present. And consequently, they shame themselves. On the other hand, wise people know how to ignore the insult and control the anger, though it may be there. So, if you get angry, you don't exercise self-control, then you are exposing your foolishness. Can we put it that way? Is that not what that verse is saying? So the point being then, you should control your anger so you don't look stupid. So I'm listing this as one of the Proverbs teaching we should control our anger. One morning, Ralph woke up at 5 o'clock to the noise of a sound like someone repairing a boiler on his roof. Still in his pajamas, he went into the backyard to investigate. He found a woodpecker on the TV antenna pounding its little brains out on the metal pole. Angry at that little creature who was ruining his sleep, Ralph picked up a rock and threw it. The rock sailed over the house, and he heard a distant crash. It hit his car. In utter disgust, he took this vicious kick at a clod of dirt, only to remember too late that he was still in his bare feet. Uncontrolled anger will demonstrate your foolishness. So, use self-control. All right, how are we doing? You want to control your anger? Stop and think. Number two, control it. Number three, there are times when you should just shut up. Be silent. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verses 32 and 33. Proverbs 30, 32 and 33. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. For as the churning of milk produces butter and the wringing of the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. Now, vivid imagery. Put your hand over your mouth. So obviously the point is, be silent. Refrain from speaking. Or in the vernacular, just shut up. Now, he gives a reason for this, and it's because it's only going to produce strife. So, expressing this anger in many situations is only going to exacerbate the situation. So many times you're better off just saying nothing. Abraham Lincoln's Secretary of War was a fellow named Edward Stanton. He was angered by an army officer who accused him of favoritism. Stanton complained to Lincoln, who suggested that Stanton write the officer a sharp letter, which is what Stanton did. And then he showed the strongly worded missile to the president. And then he said, what are you going to do with it? Lincoln inquired. Surprised, Stanton replied, send it. Lincoln shook his head. You don't want to send that letter, he said. Put it in the stove. which meant the little fire in the stove. That's what I do when I've written a letter when I'm angry. It's a good letter, and you had a good time writing it, and you feel better. Now burn it and write another. Sometimes what you need to do is just not say it. Matter of fact, let me suggest that you write a letter and burn it. You ever done that? I have. Sat down and expressed all my wrath on that piece of paper. I was expecting it to catch fire any minute. And then tore it up, threw it in the trash can. One more proverb. One more suggestion. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Wow! If you can control your anger, or to say it another way, if you can conquer your anger, you are more mighty than a general and an army that conquers a city. Which may imply how tough it is. At any rate, the idea is, show some strength. Show some strength. You blow up, spew all over the thing, cause strife and shame. Why not just demonstrate some strength? Because it takes strength to control anger. So, victory in this area is difficult. Maybe as difficult as conquering a city. But that's what we need to do. Indulging passions is easy. Bridling passion requires tremendous effort and dependence on the grace of God. That's where you get your strength from. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength." So I read this proverb and I think, where are you going to get the strength that it takes to conquer a city, to control this out of control, raging anger? And the answer is in the New Testament. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Peter the Great was one of the mightiest czars of Russia. But in a fit of temper, he struck his gardener. And a few days afterwards, the gardener died. "Alas," said Peter sadly, "I have conquered other nations. I have not been able to conquer myself." But you can do that, sir, by the power of the Spirit of God. One commentator said, "The heart is a field of battle. All is evil, and powerful passions are deadly foes, and they must be met and triumphed over in the strength of God. The glory of this victory is indeed far above the mighty. The taking of a city is child's play as compared with wrestling with the flesh and blood. That is only the battle of the day. This, the weary, unceasing conflict of life. There the enemy is mastered with a single blow. Here he is to be chained up and kept down with perseverance." So, you need to depend on the Lord to conquer your anger. Remember Milton's Paradise Lost? He wrote another book called Paradise Regained. And in it he said, "Yet he who reigns within himself and rules passions, desires, and fears is more a king which every other wise and a virtuous man indeed." So, learn some self-control by depending on the grace of God. New Testament talks a lot about self-control. Remember Galatians 5? list the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Interesting. Just prior to that verse, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk is used in Paul's writings as a metaphor for living. Live in the realm of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Galatians, the whole idea is that you can live by law or you can live by the grace of God. That verse is really saying that you should walk in the sphere of the Holy Spirit's revelation to us, given to us in the Word of God, and dependence upon Him to give you the grace and the power to do what God has said. So I find it interesting that that verse says, walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in your life is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. Isn't it interesting that in that list, the climax is self-control? Now, many have said that there's only one fruit, the fruit singular of the Spirit, sort of like an orange. It has many pieces, and part of love is self-control. But it clearly is one of the great virtues of a mature, spiritually minded believer. So what we need to do when you struggle with anger is, think first. With the ultimate goal of exercising some self-control, and in some situations, just be silent, but ultimately, show some strength by depending on the Spirit of God. We're going through the book of Proverbs topically, and there's a lot here. I have gone through a lot of verses in this series so far. And in some cases, I just backed up the truck and dumped a whole bunch of them on you. Deliberately, by the way. In this case, there's one I want you to remember. If you have a problem with anger, and by the way, some people blow up and some people just stuff it. So I don't know which one you are, but all of us struggle with anger. And I would suggest that you sort of put down in your notes, tattoo it in the front part of your brain, Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. James echoes this, where he says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, I think sometimes the anger overtakes us and we get angry before we even know it. But I think throughout the Scripture, in this proverb, in Galatians 5, in James 1, there is the idea that we should at least be slow to express it. That we need to exercise self-control, and that is done by the grace of God. So this part of the study of anger in the book of Proverbs suggests that since a lack of self-control and jealousy can cause anger, we should control it by thinking first, practicing silence in some cases, then exercising self-control by being strong in the Lord and in His grace. But the verse I would want you to put in your pocket or purse and take home is Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than one who takes a city. On June the 6th, 1944, Dwight Eisenhower, the Supreme Allied Commander, was probably one of the most powerful men on earth. Under his authority, the greatest force to cross the water in the history of the world had been assembled and was prepared to liberate Nazi-dominated Europe. How Eisenhower was able to lead such a vast army, one person has suggested, goes back to his mother. Part of the answer may link to a remarkable skill in working with different kinds of people. What many do not know is that Ike wasn't always like that. As a boy, he often got into fistfights at school. But fortunately, he had a mother who instructed him in the ways of God. One time, when she was bandaging his hand after an angry outburst, she quoted Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Years later, Eisenhower wrote, "I've always looked back on that conversation as one of the most valuable moments of my life." End of quote. Undoubtedly, by learning to control his anger, Eisenhower was able to learn how to effectively work with others. May I suggest that we learn the lesson of Proverbs 16:32. Father, thank you for the insight that you give us in your word. Thank you for giving us the advantage, the possibility of depending upon your grace and giving us the Holy Spirit to make that a reality in our lives. Now, Lord, I would pray that those who hear this study of anger in Proverbs might learn to depend upon your grace to control it. In Jesus' name, amen.